Beta Talk, a podcast which champions plumbers and heating engineers, covering topics which include plumbing and heating, obviously, and renewables. It's sponsored by IMI Hydronic Engineering, who are doing excellent stuff trying to make the industry a little bit better. Today's episode is where I went to meet Kim, or Kimbo as some people call him, at the Heating Academy, which is in Northampton. This episode was actually recorded quite a while ago, and I'm definitely a newbie to all this podcast technology. I wouldn't say the sound recording is that excellent, and I've been trying to work on it and make it a little bit better. So bear with me. It's a great episode, this, and I got to meet some engineers that went down to Northampton to do Kimbo's training. And what the training is all about, it's about system training, about heating system training. And as you'll hear in the episode, Kim says quite an interesting thing, actually. There's lots of people, lots of engineers now on forums learning about fault finding. And as we all know, fault finding, what an amazing skill that is. That's kind of what my dad's been doing for a long, long time now. So there's all these engineers on forums learning about specific sort of boiler brands and makes, and learning all this fault finding information. And like Kim says, to learn about the system and sort of how to really get to grips with optimizing or designing a real great top-notch system, it's kind of only a day's course. Obviously, you're going to have to sort of keep revising, or, you know, we all learn differently and retain knowledge differently. But essentially, it's something that everyone can do. And the engineers that I've met that have gone on this course, and subsequently since this episode, Kimbo has now teamed up with IMI and people like Rob Berridge from heatengineer.com, who is also getting out and about and training people in system design. So it's all good stuff. So you'll get to hear Kim sort of discuss a little bit about what the course does. And I also interviewed two great engineers who were there that day, Jez and Alan. And Alan Page is someone that I'd seen on Twitter a while ago. And I felt a little bit sorry for him. It was clear, it was plain to see. He was so conscientious and passionate about this industry and wanting to do a really good job each and every time. And I think he was struggling at the time to get work. And I think that's changed now. He's been on the course. I'm not saying it's because he went on the course, but luckily for Alan, it looks like he's getting some good and great work coming in. And that's always great news, because as we know, and as what a lot of customers and our consumers don't know, it's a bloody tough job out there. It really is. Most of our industry now is self-employed. And, you know, it's very, very tough. Some people cope with it quite well, and others have obviously their coping strategies, but there's a lot involved in it. And and this is one of the things this podcast sort of hopes to do. It's you know, there's a few people listening to it now that are not in our industry, and hopefully they're realizing what excellent work all you guys and girls out there do. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. It's about 40 minutes long, I believe, and enjoy. And I'm here in Northampton, have I got that right, Kim? At Heating Academy, which is an initiative that's been set up by a lovely gentleman called Kim, where he offers training in hydronics and all sorts of things, which we'll be talking about in a minute. And I'm also joined by Alan from Pages Plumbers Limited. He's from Surrey. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
And I'm also joined by Jez, who's from Little Plum Company. I've got that right, Little Plum Company?
Little Plum Co. in
Colchester, who have both been on the training course today. So I suppose the first thing I want to ask, lads, is what did you think from this training? So I'll go to you, Alan, with that. What sort of things did you learn?
To be fair, I've learnt a hell of a lot. So I didn't know how to do pump sizing. I didn't know how to do pipe sizing as well. So that's really helped. Obviously, all the hydronic separation. So yeah, I've really been interested and I've taken away a lot. So, and with the handouts that are given out to us, I'll be able to take that away and refer back to them as and when needed.
Jez, is that the same for you? Sort of what sort of things do you
Yeah, absolutely. Really interested to hear about priority hot water. I hadn't actually appreciated quite how old fashioned a lot of the systems we're working on are, and obviously putting a modern boiler on an old system isn't efficient, and today's covered a lot of that. And obviously I wanted to learn about low loss headers and closed coupled T's and how to do it correctly. Not as my old governor used to say to me, that's how we used to do it in the old days, and that's how you'll do it, boy.
And I think that's something that's happened in our industry a lot, hasn't it? I mean, we've got to this stage where boilers are going on left, right and centre, and no one really knows about the systems. And that's obviously, Kim, that's something, a big, big thing that you've tried to sort of help.
Yeah, if you look on the forums, everybody's interested in, or does anyone know a good breakdown, you know, certain breakdown course to go on for doing breakdowns?
Yeah.
And there's loads of times I think, yeah, well, absolutely, we need to know that. But nobody seems to think that systems don't break down or they're not working as well as they should do. And understanding a system is a lot easier than understanding a new high-tech boiler. You know, you can, I wouldn't say you can pick it all up in a day, but you can get a good feel for it in a day. You can look at a lot of things and at the end of the day and think, well, you know, I definitely know that's not right, or you know, we could do this a bit better. And so the day is about trying to make a full circle of all the little bits and bobs of information that everybody knows. Everyone comes here with some preconceptions and some ideas and things they've done and things their mate's done. And as you were saying, how's always been done, mate? And the idea of the day is to try and put everything in perspective, is so that you can get like a full circle of how it starts from the boiler, how it goes all the way through the system, working its way back, getting the delta T right across the boiler, getting the flow right, getting everything as close as we sensibly can. We're meant to be experts, excuse me. And we all know that a lot of the systems that go in are absolutely dire. I mean, everything gets hot eventually because physics is in our favour. But really, a lot of the systems are absolutely dreadful, all for the lack of a little bit of know-how. And I'm retired now, and I love playing with the maths, so I really enjoy my Mondays.
So I noticed that there's a little bit of math. I mean, do you think people have to be really into the maths to sort of come on your course?
Well, I've got a couple of guys here over here that can answer that. I mean, I obviously think that's not the case. I've gone to a lot of trouble to try and remove as much maths out of it as I possibly can. We use a couple of little Ohm's Law type triangles. We've got like a ready reckoner, so you don't, towards the end of the afternoon, we're not even using the calculator. Some guys prefer to, but if you don't want to use a calculator, you can do it all with a ready reckoner just by looking at kilowatts and bits and bobs and get the answers that way. We do what I think most of the guys would think quite a complex, impossible system, completely with two boilers going on a header with underfloor heating that hasn't got a blender. We've got to work out the pipe sizing, the pump sizing, the flow. How do we get around the mismatch of flow? And honest to God, by 3 o'clock, the guys are answering the questions almost as fast as I'm putting them up. Now, I appreciate there's five or six people, or eight, I think, like nine people here today. So we've got a lot of input. But even if you're doing it on your own, first time, you know, it's going to take a little bit. You have to think what you're doing. But once you've done it a couple of times, I think everybody's realised that it's not half as big an issue as a lot of the older guys try and make out it is. The commercial engineers try and keep things like headers, like this secret thing that only they can do, and it's got to be this and it's got to be that, and we need six pumps hanging off it everywhere, and we need, you know, half an acre of wall to put it on. Hopefully everyone that comes here realises that with domestic, if you're going to get into the better side of the market, which is getting away from combi swaps, and you get into the bigger houses where there's a bit more money, where you're not competing against idiots that have done 6 week courses, you do need a little bit of know-how, but it's not a great deal. You know, you can understand, I hope everybody understands today. They'll be a bit brain blurred on the way home. There's a lot of information to take in one day. We are looking at doing it over 2 days, but, you know, people haven't got the time really to allocate maybe to, they should, you know. I often help people on forums and that when it takes far longer, they waste far more than 2 or 3 days trying to resolve issues that they've got wrong because they don't have this basic understanding of how the systems work. And you think, blimey mate, if you just, you know, book in on a course, come and get a feel for it all. When you do your next one, it's be so much easier. You know, nothing special about me, there's nothing clever about what I do. I've looked at the Sibsey book and I've just tried to make it more of an on-site thing. Sibsey book is not evening reading, you know, it's all data and it's all complicated formulas and it's all about units of measurement that ordinary people don't come across, pascals and things like that, meter columns of water and all this other stuff. And the maths in the book is really daunting, and that's why nobody reads it. So I've just tried to simplify it all and do it in installer speak, and I embellish that with loads of swearing so they don't forget that I'm one of them as well, really.
How did you hear about the course, Alan? How did you hear about it?
So I think it was on the Wiesmann installer page on Facebook. I see it, so there's a lot of people that are on there that quite well respected within the heating industry. I'm on there. I've obviously learned a lot from that. I see the course and I thought, well, if I want to better myself and be better than the majority of people, if I get on it, learn some more stuff, then obviously that would be fantastic. Be better for me and better for my customers.
And we talk about customers. I mean, because you and I have had a conversation before. You know, customers are a very, very important part of our industry. But one of the things I'm trying to sort of help with, and it's going to be a struggle, is I don't think customers value what engineers actually do and can do. And we've had the prices driven down in the industry, so you guys are now competing with people that probably don't really care what they're doing. They're literally going and hanging the ball on the wall and saying goodbye. You want to do this really, really sort of quality stuff. I mean, how do you try and attract customers and get them around to the idea that what you're doing is going to be a lot better than what they've just been quoted for? It's tough, isn't it?
It is. It's definitely tough. Like, I do at the moment try and go down the line of priority hot water anyway. With the boilers that I fit, that it's generally quite easy to do so. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting a cable from here to there or running an additional pipe. But when the cost then becomes involved, the customers are sort of swaying away from that and they're looking for that cheaper option. So again, I don't know whether it's the climate we're in at the moment or whether they just don't have the money or they're just thinking that I'm going a little bit above what's actually needed. I'm not too sure, but I'm sure it'll start working out pretty well soon.
Jez, what about you? I mean, have you got quite an established customer base, or how are you getting on it?
Well, funnily enough, the company I used to work for wound up, and a lot of the customers, as I was their boiler service and repair engineer, so they looked me up through the Gas Safe Register and came back to me, so I'm now self-employed, not employed, and most of my work is word-of-mouth recommendation. And like Alan, I agree, it's a tough market, and what's really frustrating is I always try and fix boilers rather than throw them away and put a new one in. And a few times this year recently where it's been economically not viable to fix a boiler, some of my customers have actually used me as a benchmark figure for the cost of an install and then actually rung me up and said, so-and-so will do it for like £500 cheaper, do you want to match that price? And you come home a little bit depressed and you think, well, I've been good to them, I've looked after them, you know, I've gone out 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night or, you know, on a Sunday morning when they've had a problem, and now they're trying to squeeze me on price, and you get a bit despondent with that, to be honest. But like Alan says, I hope the market improves and people do start to value us as, you know, proper tradesmen.
There's no customer loyalty these days, is there?
No, it's not at all.
It's a shame because they don't understandably they don't understand. I mean, if you're buying between there, and it's not just about the boiler. Everybody thinks that Worcester Bosch are the best. I don't know where that comes from, but it's the witch thing and the marketing and all the rest of it. And invariably when you go out, people say, well, what boiler are you going to fit? And if it's not a Worcester, then say, well, no, I want a Worcester. And you can say something constructive to them, well, you know, why is it you particularly want a Worcester? Is it because of the very high modulation ratio? And they look at you, gone out, and you try and explain that out of the two of us sat here. I'm actually the expert, not you. You should be listening to me. I shouldn't be listening to you. You know, you should have no opinion on it, but you should be listening to the options that you've got to fit the right type of boiler that does the right thing for your particular application. And it isn't necessarily just going to be a Worcester, never mind the price. You know, the Worcester sometimes doesn't do some things that other boilers can do, so this is going to be a better boiler because it's going to do a better job. But other than that, it's price driven, and well, that bloke can do it £500 cheaper. I mean, I've tried going down the line occasionally when I was installing boilers, say, yeah, I can match it. Which bit don't you want me to install? I mean, obviously we need to install the boiler, but I've got to trim £500 off it somewhere. You obviously don't want me to work for nothing. So, you know, what do? Do we take the power flush out? Do we take the filters out? Which bit? Is it like for like? And of course, it never is. And that's before you get, you know, poor installers that are poor installers. You know, I'm not saying I'm the best installer in the world because I'm not, but I do try hard. I always try and get it to look dead square and everything to be right. So at least when I've gone away and someone else comes at a later date, they're not going to say, oh, bloody cowboy, you know what it's like. Everyone's a cowboy. Where there are definitely installers that you can go to and you think, holy moly, what's been going on in here, you know? Plastic push fit pipe everywhere, and it just looks a mess. It might work fine, but it just looks a mess. We seem to have lost the pride in the industry. You know, I mean, there are some fantastic installers out there. We see some fantastic pictures on Facebook and Twitter and that, but they're few and far between. When you think how many installers there are, the very, very, very vast majority of people never post anything. And if they do, they always say it's someone else's. So, you know, you've got to be a brave man on Facebook and that to put a picture up and say, hey, this is mine. Because you're just going to get a kick in. Everyone's going to get ripped into you. And
talking about social media, I mean, Kim and I are sort of close, you know. I mean, it's quite a new thing for us, this social media. I mean, do you two guys use social media? I know, Alan, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah, I've only been on Twitter for the last year.
Right.
But literally it's just for practically a plumbing and heating following.
Yeah.
I'll try and keep that more professional. So yeah. I learn a lot from it, and obviously some of the work I put up, I hope that others look at my work and they say, oh, they can learn something off that. But yeah, so for me, Twitter's more of a knowledge base, whereas Facebook, you tend to just put a few more, like a couple of boosted posts of your work to try and gain more customers. I use Twitter for more knowledge.
So, I mean, because I wasn't installing when all this sort of thing was, so I'm assuming Facebook is better to get to get customers, and then the Twitter is what you use to sort of to share knowledge and sort of be part of the group. That, I mean, I'm on Twitter now, and what I do see is this good group of people have come together and supporting each other with knowledge, because it is a very tough game out there. It can be quite lonely. Everyone says, well, how can it be lonely? You're visiting all these different customers. But it actually is quite a lonely game, and you've got to have some quite good sort of coping strategies to cope with it. You've got to run the business side of it. You've got to, dealing with customers is its whole entity in itself. You know, we've got some very sort of complex customers out there. We're in a diverse country. What's been nice for me to see is how a cohesive group, which is quite supportive of you. I know we get a few ups and downs on the social media, but it's quite generally a cohesive group where you're all supporting each other. Because you're all in the same game, aren't you? Jez, do you use it?
Not a great deal. I mean, I belong to a few boiler breakdown groups on Facebook, and they're absolutely fantastic, like you say. If you're struggling and you can't get through to tech support, sometimes you can actually go on the Baxi Breakdown forum, for example, and ask a question, and you'll have an answer within 5-10 minutes, and you'll get lots of people, and you can then get a generic opinion from all those people as to what the fault might be, especially guys that have come across that problem before. And it's just a great resource to have. And like you say, it can be lonely trying to work it out by yourself. And even when tech support's shut, these guys are always there on the end of the mobile phone, basically. And it's quite useful in that respect.
So what, I mean, and this is one of the things this podcast sort of hopes to do, is just sort of keep people chatting, you know, keep all you lot sort of chatting about the game you're all in. But I mean, how can we change this attitude of customers? I mean, I've always said it's not the customer's fault, it's not the engineer's fault, it's just how our industry has, you know, customers at the moment are always going to go for this low price. They don't really understand how sort of the knowledge you lot actually have to have. They don't understand it. And I think that's been our industry's fault for not actually getting that information to the customer. How are we going to change that, Kim, do you think? How are we going to change this perception?
I really have no idea.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when someone says to you, what's the difference between a £500 boiler and a £1,500 boiler, because both of them get your radiators hot, both of them, you know, give you hot water. It's difficult to come up with a really constructive answer to it. I mean, we could sit here and we could write a whole list of things out that this is better than that, and that's going to be. But at the end of the day, it gets your radiators hot, and it gets your hot water hot. And I can't get my head around when you go to like a really nice house with a new Audi and a new BMW parked on the drive, and they've got a really old bloody boiler. And they say, oh, hang on, we can buy an Ariston or something for £499. On old age pension of Wednesday from bloody B&Q. And you think, well, if these guys, it's one of the most underrated things in the house, the boiler. Everybody takes it for granted. I think there are three things that make your switch flip. One has got to be when your car doesn't start, you have a mental. One is definitely when your broadband doesn't work, we all have a mental. We all want to change supplier immediately because they're all a bunch of tossers and so on and so forth. And the third one, where people go completely mental, is when their eating breaks down. Mm. And you think, well, they're in such a crisis to get the hot water back on because they haven't had a shower for 2 days. You think they might put a bit more effort into trying to select something that's suitable for the house. So obviously if it's a landlord, he doesn't want to pay a lot. If you're moving next year because the job changes or whatever, you don't want to pay a lot. But one of my first questions is, you know, is this your matrimonial house for the fourth coming future? Are you likely to be here for the next 10 or 15 years? And people say, yes, well, why do you ask? You think, well, because you need a completely different system if you're looking at a long-term investment than if you're just going to whack a cheap boiler in. Because the cheapest boiler is a quality boiler, properly installed and well maintained. Not the cheapest boiler you can buy, thrown in by someone who's on £100 a day rate.
So that's quite a good little tip there. So like you ask the customer how long they're going to be in that house.
Oh, for definite, yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's no point quoting for some old singing, old dancing thing if he turns out to be a landlord. Because, you know, he's not going to do it. He's going to want a Feroli or a, you know, some cheap end, you know, bottom end of the market.
Now, is that a problem? Do you guys do landlord stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, and totally agree with what Kim says.
Do you think this is a problem then, the landlord's aspect of things, because they're always looking for cheap
Well, for some bizarre reason, landlords who need quality stuff that isn't going to break are probably the worst offenders. You know, I've tripped over landlords obviously over the years, and I say to them, why on earth would you want to put that ridiculously incorrect boiler into this house when all it's going to do is cause you long-term problems? Put the right boiler in. You know, if you and the other favourite has got to be multiple occupancies. So you get three call-outs as a breakdown engineer because the hot water's no good. Only to find out there's seven people living in a house that was designed for three, running off a 150-litre cylinder on a Y-plant. And you think, well, it's nothing to do with the boiler. It's to do with you've got the wrong application. It's not the right way. You know, if you want to replace it, you can't just replace the boiler. It's not going to fix it. You need to replace the whole hot water system to give you enough hot water for seven people. But you quote for that. Mm-hmm. That's all, no, I'll nip down to B&Q, we'll get someone else in. I've been quoted, you know, £1,000 cheaper. You think, well, you know, you've got to go for it. So, I mean, I think landlords are a dead loss, I think. I mean, I've got some landlords that I still service. They're good people, but most of them, I wouldn't bother with them at all. That's what comedy bashers are for. We need to get away from that. You know, if you want to be a discerning installer, you've got to make a decision and say, right, I'm not going to do this crap stuff anymore. You know, I'm going to draw a line in the sand and I'm moving on. I mean, I know we've all got to pay our mortgages and we've got to put food on the table, and so you're going to have to keep doing it. But actually, if you've drawn that line and you're only doing it reluctantly rather than going out looking for it, you know, and part of today is about having the courage to go to a big house where they might have a small swimming pool and a, you know, three or four zones, and they might have a need for massive hot water because there's perhaps four or five, six people living there all with en suite. Part of today is to have the confidence to say, actually, now that I understand a bit more, it's not that difficult to get this right. And yeah, I'm going to go in and quote. And eventually you'll get one. And even if the first one, you run it at a loss, to come away with the confidence thinking, bloody hell, I've got that right. That's just a cracking job. I didn't make any money out of it. You know, I might have only made a few £100 because I quoted cheap to get in. But next time, you think, yeah, I'll go looking for this stuff now, because that's where the money... I don't think anyone would disagree with that. That's where the money is.
Well, I think you're right there, because I've walked into a couple of bigger jobs and I've literally walked in there and I've gone, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've had to walk away. Yeah. But from today, I will definitely be quoting them jobs.
Yeah. Well, your first one, I'll make your backside tweak a bit. I've been there. I mean, I've been looked at. I mean, when I was playing to try and understand all this, I wasn't even doing the big jobs. I was just doing ordinary jobs. And thinking, right, on this particular job, I'm going to try it this way, you know, to see if this works. Well, I'm going to try that with different ways of doing hot water and just different ways of doing stuff. And quite often, the customer would end up quite unknowingly with a way, way better system than he was paying for, because you've put a load of time and technology and bits and bobs that you didn't need to for that job to see if that works. I've got loads about it. They're all close to me as well, because if they go wrong, I want to be able to nip out there on the way home. I don't want to have to drive 30 miles to Banbury or Oxford or somewhere. So they're all local to me. And the one that we did with the reverse returns I told you about, that was a landlord. And I begrudged every bit of it. I didn't want to do this job for the landlord, because he certainly didn't know I was doing it. We had all the floorboards up, we had everything up, because I wanted to do this reverse return thing. I wanted to see if it worked. I wanted to see what effect it had, whether it was worth doing. And it's not, practically, it isn't worth doing, but it was nice to do it all and get all the flows dead right, get the system absolutely right, and see what difference it makes. And it does make a difference. It does make a difference when you know your return temperature's more or less where you want it to be, and that, you know, the boiler's running nice and sweet, it's not cycling on and off all the time. I mean, I always get a bit of a buzz out of it when I've done a really nice job. I struggle to put them on Facebook because my pipework isn't really good enough. And it's sad, because guys that don't do well in system design can be fantastic with pipe work, and they put up a super duper S plan, and everybody understandably goes, oh, fantastic job. And actually, I quite often look at it and think, well, yeah, the pipe work's fantastic, but actually it's a 1960s bloody design. You know, we should be moving on, and the guys that come here are the guys. They are the guys that are going to move on. They are the guys that want to do it a bit better and get onto these bigger jobs and have the confidence to do it. I know what it's like. We all know what it's like being on your own. Mm. You know, when someone isn't working, you think, oh, who do I call now? You know, and you're just stuck there, 5 o'clock on a bank holiday Friday, no hot water and heating. Everybody's shut, and you're just there on your own. Customer's just turned up, got his entire family turning up for a long weekend, and they can't even take a shower.
what sort of advice, Kim, have you got? Because obviously I know, as a teacher, I used to teach, and I forget knowledge very quickly. Which might surprise people because I've taught it, but I do, and I know lots of people are like that. So what advice have you got for people that come on your course? Because they do learn a lot and it's brilliant, and you really do know your stuff. You know, I've seen a lot of training. You really do know your stuff. So what advice can you give to these two, for instance? What should they do now that they've come, they've had this day's training? What can they do to sort of maintain that level?
Yeah,
of
knowledge? That's a real good thing, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. So a lot of the stuff that we've done today, they're not going to need perhaps for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And when it comes up, that big out, whatever that job is, and they think, first of all, hopefully, the first thing is that they'll realise that even though they might have forgotten it, it's not quite as difficult as they thought it was. And I'll say to these guys now, I do a bit of support on the forums. I'm retired, and a lot of guys play golf, a lot of guys do Sudoku and one thing and another. I'm quite happy to play with flow figures and bits and bobs because I quite enjoy doing it, much to the frustration of my wife. But I enjoy doing it, so I'm more than happy if someone says, oh, you know, I've got this, this and this, what do you reckon, is this right? I'm quite happy to try and go through the maths and or, you know, offer some suggestions or whatever. But also, the thing to do is if you're in a fortunate situation where you're 10 minutes early finishing a job, which doesn't happen very often, I appreciate, is to have a look at the boiler and say, right, okay, let's just look at the pump on that. If the manual's there, look at the pump and look at the pump map and say, right, let me work out the residual, what's the flow on it? Let me just remember how to do that. What's the residual pump head? Well, let me just have a walk around this property and see if I can obviously see that you know, it's got the wrong size pipe, or the pipes are too long, or, you know, do the last two radiators take hours to warm up? Because I can understand now why that's happening. And I could, if I needed to, I could do something about that because I understand this flow and I don't know, kilowatts and all this other sort of stuff, pipe velocity and that sort of thing, to make it all work. So I think it's a matter of forcing yourself once a day, once a week, to say, right, I need to do 10 or 15 minutes here, just playing with these figures. Take the book, you know, and say, right, okay, do the pump map bit, or do the pipe sizing. All right, I think we've got rid of a couple of taboos today about pipe sizing. You know, we don't need 28 mil primaries, we don't need 22 mil primaries half the time. The kilowatt load on most houses now is way under 10 kilowatts. I think the average was less than 7, I think. So, you know, why are we still fitting 22 mil primaries? We don't need to. And people often slate 10 mil plastic. Oh, bloody rubbish microbore. Well, we dispel that theory today as well. You know, the thinner the pipe, the better the velocity, the less likely you are to have sludge build up, because we do suffer from that these days.
Yeah. I mean, my brother's system's still going from the mid-80s. This is a drop system, 10 mil microbore.
Yeah.
White says plan, I think. I think I've only ever changed the pump on it, if I'm honest. Yeah. Still works Baxi Solo. Yeah. Still doing it. I think his neighbours have had combis fitted in the past, and they're on about their second or third combi.
One, yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah,
I have changed his cylinder, actually. I'll give him a bit.
I think overall, and we're going off the point here a bit, but I think overall, moving into condensing boilers has not done our carbon footprint any good whatsoever. When you consider that we're shifting parts all around the world for boilers that need changing every 8 to 10 years, that cost a fortune, it's crazy. Because as much as the old ones only did 10 to the gallon, Christ, they lasted forever. You get 40 years out of them, and you perhaps do a couple of thermocouples and a fan, and they were just quite happily put along forever.
Yeah, I think our boiler industry got to really start to sort of take stock of what's going on in this country, and start supporting new engineers, you know, the good ones. It's got a bit of a, you know, it's a mass market, the UK market, and I think they've all dived in, and they really haven't helped you engineers, and I think it's all sorts of going wrong at the moment, and you engineers are just passionate and just want to do the right job, and you want the customers to appreciate you for doing the right job. And I think the boiler companies actually start to then think, oh, let's really start to help the engineers then. Let's bring over smaller boilers. Let's do things a little bit better. And they're obviously going to be the winners, you know, because the engineers will start to use them. I mean, we are starting to see that a little bit in the boiler industry. There's a few boiler manufacturers, I think, are starting to switch on to that fact. So that's a good point that Kim picked up on. So you two, at some point, do your little 10-minute practice a week. Well, it's only a week, or if you want to do it a day, but I think if you keep that knowledge topped up, and it'll just become second nature, won't it, Kim?
Yeah.
And then, like you say, Alan, you'll get that job where you've got maybe a swimming pool or 4 en-suites, 5 en-suites. You think, crikey, that's going to be lovely for me. I know exactly what I've got to do here. But testament to you said earlier how you come back from a job that you said, no, that's, I don't feel prepared that I can do that yet. Yeah, whereas I know there'd be people think, oh, nice one, rub their hands.
Don't get me wrong, the pipework itself, I could look at the pipework and done it, but would I have known if it was 100% right?
Yeah.
And if it's not 100% right, I don't feel confident doing it.
And that just shows your passion, doesn't it?
And we got to do things right. If it's not, well, we're not just mugging ourselves off, we're ripping the customers off.
No, that just shows your passion. Because like I say, so many people would have gone in there, done it, Rads would have got hot, they'd had hot water, but it wouldn't have been an optimum system, and a couple of years down the road, it would have gone wrong probably anyway. So, Jez, do you mainly do installing or servicing now?
Yeah, servicing and repair.
Is it mainly heating work, or do you get into the plumbing side of things as well?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot more plumbing now, hence why I wanted to come on the course here and learn about pump sizing and pipe work as well. As we were saying earlier, when you want to progress in this industry, professional development's pretty hard. You can go on boiler manufacturer courses, but all they're really trying to do is make you buy their product and sell to you. They're not actually worried about the system, they're more worried about their product. So a course like Kim's got here today is absolutely fantastic. And the one thing I do disagree with Kim a bit, he said he's not a clever guy. Well, he is, because he's taken a subject that we find quite mystical and simplified it down. And if you do read the plumbing and heating design guides, you get three pages in and you just give up because it's ridiculously complicated. So
Kim's definitely simplified.
Yeah, the ready reckoners we've been using today are brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
What made you want to do this, Kim? What was the sort of the...
I think it all goes back to being in the army years ago. We had a new complex weapon systems come out, and I was in the Remy, and all this new gear turned up. And I know that even the guys in the infantry that were trying to train the guys that didn't know how to use it couldn't use it. And I can't remember what company it was now, but it was an English-French design, and it was the first optically tracked anti-tank missile. And we ended up in our little workshop with the regiment trying to suss out how we were going to train these guys that back in the 70s couldn't read and write a lot of them. In the army back then, it was still cannon fodder. And so we would take a group of random soldiers, and we would try and teach a particular bit and see if it worked. And if it didn't, you think, right. And you end up having to find the lowest common denominator and find, right, how far back down the food chain, if you like, have we got to go? Where do we start to actually... to be able to get some information into these guys. And it was a really interesting challenge, and I did it for about 8 or 9 months. And by the end, we're actually doing quite well, and the army uses drills and they do things by numbers, so it's not quite the same. They don't necessarily understand what they do, and they do it because they're told how to do it. But it was nice to see the techies had written the handbooks, yeah? And of course, the techies understand how it works, so they assume everybody else knows that. It's like a manufacturer's instruction, isn't it? They just assume that you know everything they know. And I fall foul for that sometimes, and the first few courses that I did, at the end on the feedback forms, I was getting, well, this wasn't very good and that wasn't very good. And sometimes I'd phone up and say, what do you mean it wasn't very good? I don't understand. Did I miss something out? And then when you realise what you've missed out, you think, oh, bloody hell, yeah, of course, that's obvious to me, but it's not obvious to them. And so going back to basics, the biggest thing is to try and convert the maths from some of these horrific looking formulas. I mean, I like maths, and I always have done. I'm not particularly intimidated by formulas, but I know that a lot of most installers are. You look at some of them, you put pi r squared up on the wall and everybody's eyes glaze over, and so I needed to try and find a way to get around that, which I think I've been quite successful with. And I was and then I got on a mission to be determined to do this without using a calculator. There's got to be a way we could do all this just with them. Well, it would be an app now. If I was 20 years younger, I'd be looking at an app, no doubt. But I have my own app. It doesn't need batteries. It doesn't need signal. It's called a Ready Reckoner, and it comes on a piece of paper, laminated, like the good old days, and you can carry it in the van. And as long as you've got the absolute minimum amount of information, you can work everything else out you need, right down to header sizing and everything, and flow and all these things, from the app. And this afternoon, the guys were doing it. I mean, some prefer to use a calculator, which is fine. But I say we've done a couple of examples today, some big stuff, and they were all flying through it, you know, using the app, not needing to use a calculator. And I think that's great, just bringing it right back down to basics. Because I'm not a clever guy, but I've just struggled on with it. But I too had the Sibsy book, and I think, right, well, I need to concentrate, I need to have absolute quiet, I need it to be cold. And I think, well, I'll go in the office and I'll lock myself in there and we'll switch the telly off, wait till the wife's gone to work, and I'm going to read this book and I'm going to suss it out. And holy shit, it's hard work. Just reading the book. You think, how am I going to make head and tail of this? So the limited knowledge that I've got has come from basically from people far brighter than me on forums. I've been pestering them, and eventually you get a solution to a problem, you get some sort of formula, and then you work the formula back, and then you turn the formula into English so that I can easily understand it. Write down, and we've been doing that today, write down what all these bits and bobs mean in a unit and a language that we can understand. I don't use kilograms of water. Who deals with kilograms of water? You buy potatoes in kilograms, so we deal in litres. And as much as you have to deal in per second, because that's how the maths is traditionally done in the heating industry, we refer a lot, we multiply by 60, and we call it litres per minute, because you can relate to litres per minute. If you say 15 litres a minute, everybody in the room immediately has got some idea what that means. Whereas if you say, oh, it's 0.15 litres per second, that doesn't mean anything to anyone. So it's not that difficult to try and put these things into installer speak. And just have things you can point at and say, now that's the answer to that line there, look along there, that's the volume of that. You don't need pi r squared or any of that stuff. You can just look at that 50 mil pipe, that's the volume of it, that's the answer we need. We can put that in this formula. There's a little triangle. You can't get the formulas wrong. We only use two formulas, two of our magic triangles, and you can't pick the wrong one, otherwise you won't have enough bits in there to get the answer.
Shall I test the guys to see if they remember the formula?
No, don't do it!
I wouldn't, I've left it in the van.
Jesse, I said, so flow rate.
What I can tell you is I've got it all in my ready reckoners with me. Yeah. They're like Ohm's Law triangles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And yeah, if you've got two of the three.
But remember, the thing at the top gets divided.
That's right, yeah, and the two at the bottom are multiplied, and I couldn't tell you what order they're in, but yeah.
Don't you think the beauty of it is that you don't need to remember it?
That's right, you can go and grab your cheat sheet.
That's right, cheat sheet, I like that, cheat sheet, yeah, I like that, it's good. So you can grab your cheat sheet and you can just look at it, and you don't need even really to understand it.
No.
If you want volume, it's this by that, if you want flow, it's that by this, and so on and so forth. So that's the whole essence of what I've been trying to do, is to make it really, really simple. Yeah.
Did you two go to colleges? Is that how you got in the trade? Did you both go to a college?
Yeah, I started off, like, my granddad was a plumber, so I worked with him from a younger age. As soon as I turned 16, left school, I went straight into college, done my apprenticeship there. Then went off and worked for British Gas for 8.5 years. So
can you remember doing this stuff? Can you remember back that far?
No, I've never done any of this.
Jess, can you remember?
No, we weren't taught that. I mean, I started off as a joiner and then retrained and went to a private college. And no, we didn't do any of this. Got a city and guilds in it. We didn't cover any of this at all.
I mean, it's a question that comes up, which is quite interesting, because we actually do teach it at level three. So things like heat loss calculations, flow rate, we do teach it at level three. And I've been critical sometimes of the city and guilds in the past, but actually the courses or the syllabus, that part of the curriculum, is quite good. The trouble is, you're teaching it to apprentices. So we've got diploma students and apprentices. And now diploma students, if they're mature students, they might soak up that knowledge. The young ones probably tend not to. That doesn't mean they're not thinking and clever, but then the apprentices, they might learn it, but then they go out with the people that they've got the apprenticeship with, and they'll never use it ever in their lives. So that's a big problem. So they know they kind of haven't got to remember it because they're working, they're young and impressionable. And
they don't know the significance.
And they go out and work with people that aren't using it. So they think, well, what have I got to remember that? So it does get taught in colleges. I'm trying to think if it got taught when I was at college. I think it did. But once again, you know, you're young and you tend to take in what you think you want to take in. But it's definitely, it's such an important thing in our industry, system design, especially if you're in the installing game. I mean, obviously, service engineering, it's a different ball game in its own right, fault finding. But I think, and once again, it comes back to industry. Have industry help people that are specifically installing, or have they sort of just gone down this route of let's make sure people just chuck in boilers? It's quite enjoyable, I think. I mean, you both, I was looking around the room today and everyone seemed to be really involved. You know, and I come from a teaching background and that's quite rare. You don't always see this. You on their Twitter, you see people sort of drifting off, but everyone was absolutely engaged. So I take it was actually quite enjoyable for you to both do that training. Is there anything you can tell Kim that you would probably like him to, if he was to do, so the next time he does this, is there something you can sort of advise him, because feedback's always good, that he could probably sort of maybe a component of it, sort of spend a bit more time on? I mean, I missed the beginning of it, didn't I? So I didn't know really what you covered in the beginning. But is there something, or do you think he covered it all?
So personally today, I think there's been a decent amount of time per each topic covered. So for me, it's worked quite well. Whether that's because I'm already an installer, I've clocked onto it pretty quickly. So I'm really hoping it does help me progress even further.
What about you, Jez?
Yeah, I think the subject was, all the materials we covered were really good and the right amount of time spent as well. But because I learn at a slightly different speed to everyone else, I want to take my handouts home and sit down by myself and read through it all and make sure that it does sink in correctly.
Yeah, well, I'm the same. I will have to go back and be on my own.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Kim said about the cold brew. I'll have to try that, the cold brew. But I have to, and then it'll just click. Once it's clicked, then you think, oh yeah, it just totally makes sense. But I think like everyone learns in different ways and at different speeds. But
I love the light bulb moments. You can see them sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you see someone, ding. Oh yeah, right. He's just got that. He's just suspect what that's all about. And it's difficult in the mornings because you've got maybe three or four or five open-end subjects and you say, well, we'll get onto that a bit later. We'll get onto that a bit later. And it's difficult just hoping that you can keep people's interest until later comes up and then some of those things actually link together. And you can see it in people's faces. I love it. I understand why teachers teach. You know, I mean, you know, the TV advert about, you know, being inspirational. I don't think I'm inspirational for a moment, but it's really nice to see that something you've done and you get some response to it. And as you're talking about students being engaged, really lucky, everyone that comes here, they want to be here. And also it's cost them a day's work to be here. So, you know, it's not just the 75 quid or whatever it is for the course fee. It's the fact they lost 200, whatever, you know, a whole day's work, which when you've got to put food on the table and that is a big consideration. Summer is the time to do it. But then, of course, summer is the time when you're earning least, so there's less money about, so you're more desperate to do any job that comes in. You know, be out there fitting outdoor taps if you could, you know, this time of year. And then in the winter, everybody's busy. I've tried doing these on a Friday. Nobody comes on a Friday, because that's the day when everybody's trying to, you know, get everything squared away by the weekend. Nobody comes on a Tuesday, because you've already started the job on the Monday and it's run late, like they all do, so you want to finish it so you can get on with Wednesday's job. You don't want it piling up. And so we tried quite a few things, and Monday seems to be, without a doubt, the best day of all we can offer. We've got some good Airbnbs in the village. 24 quid for a night, it's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I have noticed that they've got good food as well.
Yeah, I have to give my wife all credit for that. Hopefully she'll listen to this.
And I'm on a diet, so I haven't had any of it. But no, that's good. So how do people listening to this, how would they get in touch with you, Kim, if they want to come on the course?
Well, my little company's called Heaton Academy Northampton. I think if you put that into Google, it comes up with the Facebook page, and there'll be some link to something. I am the ultimate numbskull when it comes to IT. I joined Twitter about a month ago, and I can't get over the fact that you're halfway through explaining something and you've run out of words. But, you know, I'm on a couple of forums. I'm a big Intergas fan, so I'm on the Intergas forum. I'm on a couple of other forums as well, just to see what's going on. And sometimes I can be a bit helpful or, you know, suggest a few things. But Heaton Academy Northampton, they'll find something somewhere with a phone number or a link to the courses. I've got I look fantastic, I think, on the website, because my daughter sorted me out one of these Eventbrite event management software things, which makes me look like I'm running some big pop concert somewhere. Looks very professional, but it's just me at the end of the day. But it does all the online booking, so you don't need to speak to me or anything. You can book direct. It's not about the money. If people can't come for whatever reason, they can always have a credit. The default setting on this software is within 7 days you can't get your money back. Well, I know we had a couple who didn't turn up today, but I mean, you know, they'll never lose their money. They can either come on another course, they won't have to pay, or if, you know, if they think they're never going to come or they don't want to come for whatever reason, they can have a credit. So it's not about the money. You know, I enjoy doing it. I actually enjoy the buzz on a Sunday, getting it ready. Me and the wife go out down Tesco's, or I should say Waitrose really, shouldn't I? Buy an order of grub for the guys, you know, and we've insured it, you know, properly. So we come by insurance. We've done the hygiene stuff for the kitchen. You know, yeah. I'm qualified now to work in McDonald's.
You can go be a chef.
Yeah, I can flip burgers now. You know, put me blue gloves on. We've got blue plasters in case I cut myself. So, you know, we've tried to comply with all the right things to do it right. It makes no difference to the content of the day, but, you know, we are trying to do it right. We're fortunate we've got property where we can get almost all the vans off-road parking. So, you know, as long as they're quite conservative with their parking, we can get everybody in, which I like, because I don't want to upset the neighbours with vans. The first couple of trips we had like plumbers vans everywhere up the road, and one of my neighbours said to me, oh, you must have had an awfully big plumbing problem, there were about 10 vans outside your house. I thought, yeah, they weren't here trying to help me fix me boiler. They were really doing something else.
I suppose another thing I was going to say is, so hopefully you're going to get a lot of interest. I mean, I'm qualified to assess training, and this is probably the best I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. And because it's covering topics that I think should be covered, and it's covering them in a way that we all need to like I say, we've mentioned the Sibsy book, we're all learning different ways, and you've accounted for that. Let's say someone wants to come on, is there some way they can prep themselves? Is there something they need to gen up on first? Would that be an advantageous thing for them to do?
I don't think so.
Or come as a clean slate?
We're not trying to make it traumatic. The whole essence of the day is that it's not a traumatic day. You don't have to, you know, not sleep the night before because I've asked you to bring your calculator, even though everyone's got one on their phone these days. I asked you to bring a calculator so that we can just do a little bit of the old-fashioned way. And some people prefer it. You know, to be fair, there are guys this afternoon that prefer to, which is absolutely fine. There's no problem. But for the guys that don't, they don't need to. And no, I don't think so. I mean, everyone's going to come with whatever knowledge they've got. And we put a few pictures up at the end, and I ask everyone jointly to sort of question the pictures and think, right, so this is a picture that somebody's posted up. What do you now think of this? Do you think this is a good design? Do you think this is, maybe you can put some comments on it? And we have perhaps a couple of minutes on each one to say, oh, well, that's not going to work very well, and that probably won't work at all. And so it's not about slagging the other people off. It's about looking at it. And I've spoken to some installers that have done some just quite amazing, unbelievable things. You look at it, you think, well, why on earth have you done that? And it's because that's how he's seen it done. He's seen pictures on Facebook of other people doing stuff. And so, well, I did that. And it wasn't until I was halfway through it, I realised, didn't really know what I was doing. And now I'm in all sorts of trouble because I can't get it to work. It's not working very well. And again, that's another thing. You know, as a guy there's going to lose a lot of money. He's going to lose 2 or 3 days with all the stress and hassle with the customers. And for a day, I'm not saying that after a day he would immediately be able to go back and do it tomorrow, but it will certainly put him in the right frame of mind, the right mindset. And I love some of the feedback I get. You know, sometimes it's months afterwards, and I'll get perhaps a drawing or a picture or something. It said, "Oh, just out of a vicarage or a farmhouse or something." Or someone that's, you know, putting a granny flat in and they wanted this, that and the other, and I've sussed this and I've done that and I've done multi-zones and, you know, we've done it all on one pump, and it's all been easy to do. It hasn't been this traumatic thing that you probably think it should be. It doesn't have to be. Mm. We struggle from old wives' tales and myths and taboos about stuff. Low-loss headers, it's just a piece of pipe. It does a different job than your ordinary heating pipe does. But it's just a piece of pipe, and if you understand what that piece of pipe does, you can use it in the right place. You can size it, because you size it the way you size every other piece of pipe. None of it is big, and today a lot of it is about trying to sort of dispel some of these myths.
Right, well, that's thanks ever so much, Jez and Alan, for joining us, and thanks ever so much, Kim, for inviting me here to sort of look at your training and see how you do it. I'd sort of recommend anyone to sort of come on this training if they can. It's very, very good. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for coming.
Cheers. Thank you.
Well, there you go. Hope you enjoyed that episode. That was done at Kim's, or Kimbo as some people call him, and you can find details about his training if you go to his website, which I think is called the Heating Academy. It's in Northampton. You can find him on Twitter under the Heating Academy. It's really worthwhile. Like I say, he's also joined up now, so he will do training with IMI at some of their events. He also still does his own training at his house. It's really good stuff. So I hope you enjoyed that episode, and remember to subscribe to the podcast. Don't ask me how you do that. It's beyond my technical capabilities. I'll just try and produce them, and I'll see you for the next one. Thank you very much.